Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. Today on the program, I am joined by Cheryl Chavez. And I actually wish that I hit the record button, Cheryl, a few minutes ago, because we had some really good content. We talked about our favorite flavor of ice cream, which we both love, chocolate peanut butter from Baskin Robbins, right?
Yeah.
There's just nothing better. Although, I don't know if you've ever tried the Netflix, Ben and Jerry's Netflix and Chill. A little salty, but still good. And we talked about See's Candy. We found that we have a ton in common, as well as being Disney fans. But what else we have in common, and we're going to go back in time, is we both have a strong fondness and roots with marketing automation. And Cheryl was the group vice president, product management, and user experience at Marketo for 8 years, very early on in their company history. That's where she and I got to know each other. And today, she is at Duetto as their chief product officer. And Cheryl, you seem to have a knack for joining companies during very strange economic downturns. What's up with that? You joined Marketo in 2009 and now Duetto during a worldwide pandemic. So
yeah.
should we just track when Cheryl makes a move and know that there's going to be, you know, something going on?
Well, Dave, first of all, thanks for having me on today. I'm really excited to be here. Yeah, so going back in history, 2009, I joined Marketo. It was what they're calling the Great Recession. And what was really interesting about it is that despite the fact that we were in a financial crisis, Marketo was building marketing automation software with the core message of doing more with less. And back then, marketers were faced with, you know, fewer bodies to get their work done. I think marketing automation was still pretty greenfield at the time. It was pretty much Eloqua at the time as the main player in the market. And, you know, in came Marketo, this kind of hot, fun, easy to use solution. And we just made headway in the marketplace. And the story of automation really resonated with the marketers back then. And so if we fast forward now to where we are in 2020, as you said, I joined Duetto just a few weeks before pretty much San Francisco went on a shutdown. But what was exciting to me about the company was that the message of automation has always resonated for me. And Duetto was a revenue optimization company. And I can tell you a little bit about what that means for hospitality industries. But essentially, we're pitching do more with less because hotels are struggling. They've furloughed and laid off people. And as they come out into recovery, and people are dying to travel, and we're starting to see it already, but they are going to be faced with doing more with fewer people. And automation is a great story there because it helps you do more with less. And yeah. So, you know, it's been really cool for me to, you know, and a lot of parallels to what I experienced at Marketo in the early days and what's happening here at Duetto.
I've in marketing in my previous roles prior to launching Demand Gen, I've run marketing and I've had product marketing underneath as my responsibility. And it's a challenging dimension of the role of the CMO for sure, having product marketing. And you in your role, you get to Duetto, you were at a company that built one of the most passionate communities of users and a product that has been a game changer for not only the companies who use the platform for driving growth, but for the users of the platform. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw that coming, but right, these have been, you know, help people catapult their careers in marketing. And you're at Duetto. What are you finding in terms of like some similarities between the companies, the culture, and the passions for bringing automation to companies?
A lot, actually, Dave. So we sell to what we call revenue managers in the hotels. And this is a very small group of people who are extremely passionate about what they do. Their jobs are to drive revenue for the hotel. That is what they are measured on day in and day out. And they're very passionate about what they do. They're passionate about what the software can help them do as well. And so I'm actually trying to build a community right now within the revenue management world. We've actually got the beginnings, you know, somewhat like what we did at Marketo. We started with an ideas community where people could throw out the enhancements that they wanted to see in the product. And so we've started with that. And hopefully that'll move into more of a thought leadership and place where our customers can share ideas and solve problems together. And so I'm excited about that because I definitely see the same level of passion in these people. I'd say that from a technology perspective, the hospitality industry is a little bit more behind the curve than the rest, you know, than just general technology, but we're getting there. And that's what's really kind of cool and exciting about all this for me.
You guys have over 4,000 clients. I think any of us who travel, less of us are traveling right now, but any of us who travel or have ever gone, I'm going to Tahoe this weekend. So I feel like I experienced your platform in some way because I went to the Ritz-Carlton website and I looked for rooms. And a few weeks ago, I went to another travel site and I looked for rooms. And I never really understood that there's a whole platform behind that is merchandising and marketing the rooms and room rates. And by the way, I wish there was some hack that I could do so I could like discount the room rates, some cheat. But it's amazing that automation has come into this way of merchandising and marketing rooms, 4,000 clients. So maybe you could share a little bit about the product suite, because what I'm going to listen for, I want to encourage everyone listening to is, you know, that relationship that marketing needs to have with product management, right? As you introduce new platforms, and I think you guys have a new release coming up, but as you guys, you know, advice I'd love to have, because you did it so well at Marketo in terms of the alignment between marketing and product. They seem like joined at the hip. Love to take advice there. So tell me a little bit about the products and what you guys are working on. And I'm going to listen as kind of like play the role of marketing and think like, okay, with those things, what questions would I have for you?
Okay, sounds good. So let's start with the product. So I mentioned that we're a revenue optimization platform. So what does that actually mean? So for a revenue manager, they are measured on driving revenue for the hotel. And so that translates into how we price rooms. And so we develop a demand forecast that's based on a number of different inputs, including historical data, other market demand data, rate shopping data. So what are my competitors selling their rooms at? Are there any events happening in the area? So think like how pricing when Dreamforce hits San Francisco, hotel rooms skyrocket up to thousands of dollars a night. This is all the software behind the scenes driving all of this pricing because it's looking at the demand for a set number of days, what we call pickup. And so our forecast helps the revenue manager understand what can I expect from a number of different metrics. One that is probably familiar to everyone is occupancy. Like what mm-hmm. percentage of occupancy are we forecasting for any given day? Then the next step is that we recommend pricing for what the hotel should sell that particular room type for on that particular day, given all these other factors that are playing in. And so when you think about this, if a revenue manager were to try to do this for every day of the year, every day that they come to work, it's nearly impossible. For sure. So this is where the automation piece really plays in. And our software enables them to build their strategy into the pricing. So essentially, they're basically saying that this is what I care about. Maybe I have a minimum night stay that is required. Or perhaps it's, we don't want to go above a certain price or below a certain price. And so as a revenue manager, they are able to define all of these rules in the system, and then the system automates and notifies. So it lets you know, hey, your occupancy rates have skyrocketed, so we're going to raise the prices. Do you want to accept this price or not? So we have many different levels of configuration and ability for the revenue manager to interact. Now, the other really important piece here is then measuring how well they do. So we have a product called Scoreboard, which is essentially a BI tool. It provides lots of different metrics and custom reporting around how well they're performing towards their forecast. But the other big piece, which I think might be more interesting here for this audience, is the connection into marketing. Because as we all know, as marketers, our goal is to help drive revenue for the business. And so it's really important for the revenue manager to work closely with the marketing department to say, hey, our occupancy levels are low right now. What can we do to drive additional demand? And then that demand comes back into automation, you know, more along the lines of marketing automation, which is around how do we push ads or send emails. Now, we don't do that just yet. And I'll say just yet, but it's clearly an area that is interesting for me. But we really end around the automation piece around pricing and forecasting, and then the reporting. And then we have tools for group business as well. So when sales is looking to sell hotel rooms for an event, so we'll go back to Dreamforce, which I'm sure everyone knows and loves. Oh, yeah. When Dreamforce comes about, they sell blocks of rooms to different companies. They have to understand the trade-off of selling the block of rooms versus transient business, which is just either business travel or leisure travel. And so all of this kind of plays together. And then Dave, you asked about sort of how does product management and marketing work together? Well, I mean, this is a very important part of my job. You know, I think of myself as a product leader who has a very strong go-to-market aspect to what I do. So pricing and packaging is really important. And it's very, very, very key for us to be tightly aligned with product marketing and marketing in terms of how we're going to position a product, getting buy-in around is the packaging and the pricing right for the marketplace. And then, of course, just generally the go-to-market of how do we make sure that the world knows about what we're delivering and make sure that the internal organization is ready, right? So many organizations just think when it's code complete, heck, let's just throw it over the wall and hope for the best, right? But there's got to be sales training, success training, support training, alignment, videos, white papers, you name it. There's a lot that goes into releasing product. And for me, that's that I work very closely with the marketing department to bring all of that to life for the company. And I've done that at Duetto, Engageo, and Marketo.
Yeah. It was interesting because sometimes in my career, it was weird. We would find out about a product like almost as it's getting done.
Right.
And like, oh, hey, marketing, we're almost done with this. And now we need you to put a marketing plan. And two things would go through my mind, like, why am I just finding about this now? And then B, where am I going to get all of a sudden found money that wasn't in my plan to market a new product? And so I can't stress, I mean, you are phenomenal at this, but there's a lot of, I think, engineering and product teams that don't really take marketing on the journey early on to what they're working on so that we can start planning, not only for the planning purpose of getting marketing programs to bring the product to market or product releases, but integrating everything together. As you said, you guys have three different products, Game Changer, Scoreboard, Blockbuster, and new stuff coming out, right? That you don't want to market these products in silos. There's synergy between all of them. So what is your approach in terms of when you're reaching out to marketing, how far in advance do you do that? What kind of information do you set up to provide to them so they can start that process of thinking about the go-to-market or an update release for that matter?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I believe in continuous sharing of what's on the roadmap. So I have a meeting, it's called the cross-functional team meeting. We started this at Marketo. I've carried it through to the different companies that I've worked at since then. And the whole premise behind the cross-functional team meeting is exactly what you said. Make sure people know what's coming early on so that they can plan. Marketing has a budget. Marketing has a calendar of stuff they're going to be doing and sending out. They're not just sending out product release information, right? They're constantly nurturing and doing a lot of things that are not directly tied to a product launch. And so it's really important for us to make sure that they know what's coming and when, because a lot of times also, we're not going to release to market when the code is complete. We might decide to hold and find a more opportune time to tell our message to the market. And so that really becomes key in aligning around when and what we're going to say. So just as a great example, you know, you kind of mentioned that we've got a release coming up. We have a bunch of new functionality that's going to continue to strengthen our story around automation that we're releasing at the beginning of September. Now, for some of these features, the code's already complete. It's ready to go. But we wanted to have, you know, some rolling thunder. We want to have a story that we can tell to the market, and that's going to be around automation and the efficiency that that brings to you and the agility, because we're enhancing a lot of our rules engines and our ability to automate notifications and then being able to take action on those notifications and things of that nature. There's a lot of intricacies in the hotel industry around restricting hotel rooms and things like that. We won't get into all those details, but that's just the gist of what we're building right now. And we decided to hold the release because we wanted to tell a story. And then we're holding additional functionality. And for those that are Marketo customers may remember, we would do customer love releases along the way here and there. And so we're going to do that as well, where we've got a number of smaller little features that have been asked for by our customers. They're going to really help them in their recovery coming out of COVID, because COVID has hit the hospitality industry pretty hard. And so we're going to have a really nice story around customer love as well. But none of that's possible if I'm not talking to marketing and we're not sharing what our vision is, what we're working on, what the roadmap is, because it's a collective conversation that we're having. This isn't all done in a black box, right? We have to be communicating across the org. Now, at Marketo, I was fortunate to have some really great partners in the product marketing organization. I'm really new still at Duetto, and I see that I have a great partner there as well. And I'm hoping that we just continue to build out these stories that are going to resonate with the marketplace. But yeah, you've got to be connected in with your product teams. It's just, it's essential. I don't know how you do it if you're not.
I don't think every company does it well, but you know, clearly you've worked at companies that culturally have this alignment. There's something else though, and I don't know if anyone's ever pointed it out to you. I'm going to make a comparison. I hope you're okay with it, but Johnny Ive, who's the chief design officer at Apple for, you know, over two decades, when I would go to like Marketo conferences, you were always introduced almost with an element of like celebrity, and everyone got excited. Like Cheryl's coming on the stage, much like when Johnny would unveil a new product at Apple, you would come on the stage and this, you know, community was like, what's Cheryl going to show us? What's she going to demo? Wow. There's a new release coming out. And you were not a behind the scenes engineering leader, product development. You were so close to the community and so connected with them to feed in what they liked and didn't like about the product or the evolution of it. And I just like to know like how intentional that is and whether you plan to do the similar type of thing at Duetto in terms of having such a close relationship with the customers, with the users of the platform.
Great question. Yeah, so at Marketo, you know, for me, what drives me on a day-to-day basis is a passion for what I'm building. And I was clearly connected in with the whole concept of marketing, marketing automation, the passion that our customers reciprocated back to us really, you know, really got me out of bed every day and drove me to want to build an amazing product. And of course, you know, while I was the one who was up there sharing the story and sharing everything that we built, there was a team of people that were there with me who were also just as passionate as well. And yeah, I was fortunate to be the one who got to get up there and share the stories. And I think that a lot of that comes from wanting to make sure that we're building products that customers see value in. And there's, you know, there's this saying of listen to your customer. And I think there's a lot of misinterpretation of what that means. And I use a very simple example here to explain it. But like customers will say, I need a blue button. I need this blue button. And it's like, okay, well, why? What are you going to do with that blue button? And a lot of times the job of a good product management organization is to listen and hear what they're saying, read between the lines, essentially, because a customer isn't going to always know what they're asking for. They're not always going to know that there's a problem that they have. And it's our job to hear what they're saying and then think big, think innovation, think out of the box. Yeah. And so that is what excites me pretty much every day. But you don't get that unless you're close to your customers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to get close to my customers right now, but you can imagine with hotels closed, a lot of folks are furloughed. And so now we're coming back into business here. So I'm starting to get more connected in with our customers, which is exciting for me.
I really admire it. I like the approach. As I said, I've kind of been all too often surprised previously when products are coming out, but also I'm trying to really think of companies that I've been part of prior to demand gen where engineering is on stage or engineering or the product team is really unveiling a product. And when it's done and you feel their passion for it and share, it's a heck of a lot better than, you know, someone from sales or someone from marketing doing the demo, because these are people who made, these are the Keebler elves of it, as I've said, you know, yeah, showing off the cookies. So Feather Hickox and I have known each other for a long time. It was a client when she was at FICO for years, which I was interesting some similarities between in terms of algorithms for predicting things. So, you know, there's an algorithm for predicting your credit score or determining your credit score. And now there's algorithms for pricing hotel rooms. By the way, well, I like Dreamforce. Well, it's gotten a little big, but I definitely don't like the hotel prices at that time of year. It's so hard to get a place and anything affordable. I did hear, by the way, if anybody needs to get away, you can go to Mexico and stay at the Westin there for $160 a night. Great value if you can travel right now.
Wow.
Yeah, like top rated ocean view rooms for $160 and all inclusive with all your booze, all your food, everything for $500. So kudos to the algorithm for finding great value for people who do want to travel. Maybe some of us need to get out and about. What's this first year going to look like for you in terms of key initiatives for yourself? Now that you are there, what's on your list, Cheryl, to say, I got to do this, 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 and this with the organization and the team?
Mm-hmm. So when I was hired, one of my goals was to scale the team. And that included not just building a world-class product management and UX organization, but also scaling processes so that we can grow the business to, you know, double, triple what we're currently in revenue right now. And so, of course, I was met with a few challenges getting started pretty much a couple of days before the office shut down. You can imagine it's a little challenging to get to know people. I'm a very, you know, I'm an introvert by, you know, Myers-Briggs standards.
I definitely enjoy
meeting people. I'm more of like the small group type of person, type who has fewer friends, not lots of friends. But it was hard for me to make those personal connections because I value those. And I think that I lead through a lot of those types of connections. And so, you know, it's fine now, but it, you know, the first couple months was a little challenging getting there, but, I was fortunate enough to bring a few of my folks with me. So I have a couple of folks on the team who are also ex-Marketo employees, and they're amazing leaders on my team as well. And so we're off to the races in terms of the right team in place now. And I also inherited a number of wonderful product managers who had been with the company for a couple of years already. And then, you know, kind of the first thing is, you know, I have a playbook that I came into the company with. And a lot of that includes how do we communicate cross-functionally? So this cross-functional process that I've already talked a little bit about, brought in a product council so that we're ensuring that any product decisions are understood. Everything that I do on a day-to-day basis, Dave, is about trade-offs. If we're going to build this, we're not going to build that, right? It's where do we put our dollars and where do we put our resources? And it's really important for there to be a collective understanding of that and the trade-offs we're making across the executive team. So I did some of those things as well. And then really kind of honing in on helping the product teams understand, like, how do we build great product, right? There's a lot of intricacies, excuse me, to building a great product from requirements and design, user stories, user testing, and all of that. And so I'd say from a product perspective, a lot of work had to be done on the user experience side. So I brought in somebody who's got a lot of experience there, and he's been doing a great job putting processes together and really just establishing how are we going to think about that side of building product moving forward.
Yeah.
So still in the midst of all of these things because they don't happen overnight. And but yeah, exciting. Things are going really well so far.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know Feather and the team members there, our teams have been working together, which is great. I'm glad she said, hey, do you know who just joined? And I said, no, who? And she goes, Cheryl Chavez. I'm like, that is fantastic. And I made that connection, Cheryl, because again, I saw the community that you built and the passion that you had. And I got to say again, like the profound impact that your work has done at Marketo to create careers and drive company growth. Do you think with Duetto and the platforms there in terms of your users, the people who learn the Duetto tool set, learn the platform and learn the tools, how empowering is it to them and in their careers to have that those skills and expertise? Are there parallels as well?
I mean, there's a ton of parallels. I was fortunate to come into Duetto with already a very strong brand around the company. A lot of the revenue managers who use the tool today, if they leave their hotel brand and go somewhere else, will bring Duetto with them. So, you know, I was fortunate to come in with that kind of already, that standard already in place, but there's still a lot of room for just technology advancement. You know, it's unfortunate that we're in this pandemic right now, but what I'm seeing is a ton of opportunity because I mentioned earlier that hotels don't always, they're not really on the same trajectory around adopting technology as, let's say, regular, you know, just other SaaS businesses. Mm-hmm. And so we're presented right now with a really unique opportunity to to really go through a digital transformation in these hotels. And I think the pandemic is going to be the eye opener for them, because they're not going to be able to bring back the same manual processes that they had before and the same number of bodies. And so technology is going to play a really, really important role. And so that's exciting, because that opens up a ton of opportunity for Duetto, as well as an opportunity for Duetto to expand on our product offerings as well. So, for me, it's a lot of parallel with what we experienced before, but I see the passion in these folks, and I'm excited to just continue to deliver on what they need and what's going to help them get the most value and drive the most revenue for the business.
Nice. Well, little factoid. I never even shared this with Feather. Maybe it's only interesting to me, but my first corporate job, I don't know if you call it that, but outside of being a DJ in college, because that was my own business and I love being a DJ. But my first job while I was going to school was working for this company called Haba Systems. And they eventually became a Macintosh developer. But what they created was a hotel management system. So I was still in computer science then before I switched to marketing, and I was flying around Santa Barbara, San Diego. They actually had a private plane that they would fly me in, which was cool. So I wasn't a pilot, but I would ride along, and we would land at these airports, go to the hotels, and there were these Apple IIes that they had for doing all the invoicing and the billing, for tracking all the expenses of a hotel guest. That is the limit of my experience in hotel management systems, but it was a really cool job. But I just had the technical responsibility of getting the software working and getting this interface board plugged in properly. That most of the times the system was down is that they moved the computer and the interface card wasn't plugged in properly, but we flew all the way there to just plug in a wire or a card. Anyway, I digress. Culture, you guys did something, maybe you can talk to it. Virtual wine tasting.
Yes, that was me.
Well, please, for all of us, like you said, it's tough to engage with our clients right now in very special ways. And our marketing team is coming up with some clever stuff. But you guys did the virtual wine tasting, and I would love for you to share about it, because it just sounded like a very, very neat program.
Yeah. So, for me personally, I mentioned I was having a little bit, it was harder to connect with people. And I'm a big believer in getting to know people beyond just the job that they play at their company, because we spend so much time together. And so, the driver was really around getting to know folks. And I'm a huge wine advocate. I have a California certificate, a California wine appellation certificate. So I've done studies across California wine regions. And so I'm pretty well versed in wine, and I love it. So it's really more just a passion. So I thought, why not? Let's get together and talk about wine. And I think people are, a lot of people are interested in wine, but feel intimidated by it because they don't know how to describe it, or they don't know what they're tasting. And so we ran this virtual wine tasting where people could ask questions, and we really kept it simple, but just were able to talk about the different regions and why wines are the way they are. They're lighter bodied, bigger bodied, depending on climate and weather. And when you think about it, if you think about a forecast, for hotels, a lot of what creates a wine is forecasting what the weather is going to be like, the soil conditions, and so many different things. So there's still a lot of parallels even when we think about wine. But it was just really great. I think everyone really enjoyed being able to connect at a different level than just around the software.
It's a very clever idea. I want to steal it either for our own internal use or doing with some clients. It's like you said, I remember I took a couple employees up wine tasting when they'd come out to our office in California. We'd go up to Napa, and they were, in their 20s, some in their 30s, and they had never gone wine tasting before. And like you said, that experience of getting more educated on how to taste wines, pair wines and all that. I mean, what a good thing to learn.
Enjoyable. The message that I gave to people was that don't be intimidated by wine. If you taste strawberries and raspberries and a little mineral or pencil, that's fine. Or if you don't even know what that tastes like, so what? Just enjoy it. I think people are just way too intimidated by wine, and they shouldn't be. I told one person, drink what you like. Don't worry about any of this stuff. I geek out on this stuff. I was a science major and I like all of it, but you don't have to.
All right. So let's close with a question since we're talking about wine. Because I went to dinner with Rob Mayo, who is part of the marketing operations team at Splunk. And so he and I went to like the classic steakhouse in San Francisco, and we had a nice juicy steak, and we got wine, and guys served the wine. And I didn't recognize a lot of the wines on their menu, so he asked for a recommendation. And as we're tasting it, he said, you should be able to taste, you know, the notes of graphite and pencil shavings. And I was like, oh shit, that's exactly what I taste, and I don't think I like it. Like, it was like, I wouldn't have picked it out, but literally as he's setting it, it's almost like those TikTok videos. I don't know if you've seen those, like where you hear a sound and then there's a word on the screen, and depending on what word you look at is exactly what you hear. It's kind of like a very interesting neuromarketing thing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't taste anything else other than graphite or pencil shaving. So is that a pleasurable wine to you, is my question.
Yes, it is. And it is when I've got a nice juicy steak sitting in front of me. So a lot of wines that are going to pair with like a heavy steak are going to be cabs from, you know, I'm a Napa gal all the way. And I love the mountain wines like Howl Mountain and Mount Veeder. And because of the soil and rock qualities, they have a lot of volcanic rock on those mountains. You're going to get some of that minerality that kind of shows through. It might have been an older wine too. So as a wine ages, it loses some of its fruitiness. So, you know, my advice for you, Dave, would be maybe stick with a younger wine because it's still going to have a little more of that fruit forwardness, which might cover up some of that minerality that you didn't care for as much.
All right, good advice. Well, there you have it. Little sommelier suggestion of wine. Who would have expected on Demand Gen Radio? Well, Cheryl, I am so excited for you to join Feather and the Duetto team there. Of no doubt you'll take the great contributions and expertise that I've seen you do at Engageo and at Marketo. And this thing's not going to last forever, that's for sure. And I'm sure the companies that have your guys' platform are loyal to you guys. And when you describe the product, like I was playing the role of the marketer, and all I could think of my mind is like, why wouldn't every hotel get these platforms? Like, it's a no-brainer from an ROI perspective. Amazing. So continued success to you. Give my best to Heather and the team. And hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. I thought it would just be really great to talk with a head of engineering, head of product, and encourage you guys to go have a glass of wine with your head of engineering, head of product, and talk about how marketing and product can be much more aligned, because it's done right some places and not so right other places. So go take action on that and go get yourself some wine tonight and enjoy whatever you like to pair it with. That'll do it on this episode. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye, Cheryl.
Thanks, Dave.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.